My name is Michael. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. And I have struggled with anxiety, anger, relationships. And I'm just blessed to know the Lord and know that He's faithful. And I'm going to facilitate this lesson tonight. This lesson for me is, I'd like to just title it, this is a lesson of encouragement. Some of our lessons are about, things, tough things to do and whatnot, but the title of this one has a tendency to have a came from a negative place, if we're struggling to gain our sanity, then what did we have before, we just think about the word insanity, and I know for me, in my past, I truly did struggle with mental illness. I think that my anger, I could say, and I used to say when I first came here 16 years ago, that I struggled with rage in relationships, and the type of anger I dealt with was truly on the mentally ill side of things. It was untaken care of business and uncovered things and things that the Lord really needed to heal in me. And so for me, it's really a valid thing to find the path of serenity, find the place of wholeness of mind, soundness of thinking, and in the right way in life. So let's read the principle together. I always like starting to do that. So principle 2, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 4. And then step 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Earnestly believe that God exists. This is the second lesson we've had on principle 2 and step 2. And I think I like to call them the encouragement steps, because the journey is going to take us into some things that some of us would rather not do. We have to identify some things we don't really want to identify, or we don't want to bring out in the open, and we want to write them down, and we want to get them out into the open and get rid of them. But these two lessons for me, these next ones coming up, are to encourage us who our strength is, who our hope is, who we have around us, the new life that we are in, and the power that has in itself. I was reading the principle, and earnestly believe that God exists. Basically, that we have faith, and in that, the thing that I've been dealing with in this journey is that the fact that I have faith, that He's given me a portion of faith, it's totally a gift, but the thing of it is, when I act on that and when I'm trying to walk in His ways and do the things He wants me to do, I just feel like I'm His son and more like that child, and then He's my Father. And today, what I get after 16 years is that He's pleased with me no matter what happens. And I earnestly believe that He does. That's his feelings towards me. And that's how I feel about it. And the more I grow and the more that my mind is transformed and its thinking and its knowledge and the things that He's given me and improved in my head and in my heart, it's a good thing to know that God is pleased with me. It's been a real challenge. I heard somebody teach on that, and they said, go ahead, go in the mirror tonight and look in the mirror and just look at yourself and point right at yourself and say, God is pleased with you. And it really did feel awkward at first. But it's the truth, because we have faith, and it pleases Him that we're walking in that faith and we're attempting to do the things that we're doing in His name. The other part of that is that, and I matter to Him. Well, that took me right to my life's verse, and I will try to look it up real quick here. And that's one of my life's verses, that being Psalms 139. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'd like to. I matter to him. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 14. And my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are thy thoughts of me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How precious are the thoughts of me, O God. We're precious to him, and everything about us he knows. So it's wonderful to know that when we're on this journey that we matter to him. Everything about us, it matters to him. And then the end of that principle is, and that he has the power to help me recover. And what I've understood in that recovering process, this sanctification process, is that that's what it is. It's a process. And I've learned to accept that now. After 16 years, I still feel like I'm just getting started. And but to me, what it is and what I realize, it's just every day is a new day. And I get to start it with him and find out what he has for me. One of the biggest challenges I've found in this process, in this sanctification walk with God, is that I do it one day at a time. And that's changed my life. That's one of the first biggest things that I realized through this whole thing, is that I just have to do this one day at a time. And that's what he told us to do, you know, in Matthew 6, if you read that. And really, he says at the end of that chapter that today has enough problems of its own. So why go anymore, you know? In fact, for me, it's moments at a time, and that'll do too, you know? So I'm just glad that he's given me that faith, that I matter to him, and that he's walking me through this whole sanctification process with his power and his might. So with the acrostic sanity, the first letter is strength. And I was going to try to look up all the strengths that are in just Psalms alone and read you about four or five of them, but my little handy tool here just freaked out on me. But it's a good thing just to look up strength and go to the Psalm section and just read through some of those. They're just wonderful. King David, he knew who his strength was, you know, and he could announce that to everyone and anybody around him. The scripture for that, Psalms 46:1-2, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, I think most of my life I felt alone. You know, when I was young, I was there was a crime of a pedophile had a crime against us. It was pretty severe with some of me and my siblings, and it caused me to just lose all my childhood, my innocence in childhood, and basically I lost all my schooling and all the normal things that kids do. I just didn't enjoy them or partake in them. Never received a diploma or anything through school. And basically, my identity was that I was stupid and worthless. And I had so much, I was so outside of myself or so disconnected with myself, I really couldn't relate to that. That's just, I knew that's how I operated. Today I knew I operated that way. And, you know, the trouble I got into and the places I went in life is because I was following others. I was always following others. And, you know, just took the world's way into things. And I remember that every strong point in my life, every light that came on into my heart and where I could identify with the Creator and with God and with the Lord was, it was only when He spoke to me. That's the only times I ever felt strength, other than some of my family and through them I understood some of that stuff. But you know, the Lord is definitely my strength, and He's the one we need to depend on through this whole process, and not on ourselves. That's kind of what got us in trouble, and we need to look to Him for all of our help through this process. And it's just like what we came to know, that God was the only help for us. We came out of our denial that we couldn't fix these things, these problems that we're in. We needed to accept that God was the one that was going to help us. The A is for acceptance. Basically, through this teaching, what the engineers of this recovery book want us to understand through this acceptance part is that we don't do this thing alone, basically. We need to accept that we have people around us when we're in recovery and working on these hurts, habits, and hang-ups. There are people around us that know what they're doing. They know how to love. They know how to come up side of us and encourage us, and we need to be able to accept that help and those people. It's a big part of our recovery. It's been a big part of mine, and I really had to grow into that myself. When I came into CR, basically I was not safe with the church. It was an off. I had problems and pain from the past from the church, and so I really had a hard time coming in. But said my prayer out here in the back parking lot when the meetings used to be in the back room, and I just said, God, help me. I need to go in there, but I'm going to have your help being with all those people in there and with the leadership. And anyway, He has helped me, and I'm still here after 16 years. But I needed to accept the church and the people in it. I needed to accept the leadership and the pastors. And even by year 7, one of my biggest things I was still working on when I was in here is that I needed to love them. In all my hurt and pain and sometimes my disagreements with the leadership and the people that were leading this fellowship and the church, I needed to love my elders and love my pastors and see that they had the best interest in me, and I needed to reach out to them. The other thing I needed to accept was that in some people, I couldn't change them. And sometimes I couldn't even go back and ask for forgiveness or get forgiveness or extend my forgiveness. But I had to let that go and accept the fact that I couldn't deal with that or deal with the hard relationships that are in my life, that people that might have been shunning me, friends that were still out there in the playing in the world and partying and doing their thing that were not pleased with my behavior. I didn't need to deal with that. I need to accept that I couldn't change them. Hopefully what I could do is with my new life in Christ, I could just be an example. And that's going to be one of our other letters here. So we need to accept that we need people in our life. And then we also need to accept that there's some people we don't need in our lives, that they have to be out of our lives, because it's not a good influence for us, probably, most likely. Anyway, the N is for new life. The scripture, 2 Corinthians, is when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You know, it's certainly a journey for me. I didn't feel after about the day I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't but a couple more years, and I was back out playing music in bars and carrying on like a yahoo. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord was faithful, and He never left me, and His promises stayed with me the whole time. So, it's a good thing to know that the Lord is faithful and that He's good and I can depend on Him. But I'll tell you what, the day I came into CR, I had a real revelation of the Lord and a real touch from Him. And since that day and since that day that He touched me, I think almost that time in my life 16 years ago was when I was really, really, truly touched and reborn in a certain way, renewed, in fact, regenerated. And since that day, my life has just never been the same. So we just need to accept that we do have a new life and that he is faithful and he will continue to work with us. And we can accept and look forward to the changes that he's going to have in our life. And we also need to be able to celebrate those changes in the new life. You're going to find out that you're going to be doing a lot of writing here pretty soon. And in your writing, you're going to be writing things that might be problems in your life, negative things, hurts, pains, hang-ups, all the bad stuff, the negative stuff. But we also need to leave a column where we write good things and we write our blessings down and our encouragements and things that we can celebrate. So we really need to be able to do that and truly just have a joy in that. The I is for integrity. I think it really matters how we hold ourselves and what we do. And I believe that as we walk this new life, it's good to be able to throw off certain things that don't matter anymore or that aren't profitable. You know, I think one of the first things I did, besides maybe stop smoking and stuff like that, most of my habits were gone and the Lord just took them from me as far as, you know, drinking or smoking a lot of pot, which is what my main thing was in the world, was smoking pot. But that stuff was gone. Any type of sinful behavior was gone. But I still had a foul mouth. And I thought sometimes I had to display that. You know, even I'd come into CR and in the small groups, I thought it was cool just to let out a little S-bomb or something like that, you know. And, you know, I found out that it really wasn't profitable to do that. In fact, it just showed that there was a deficit of integrity in me. And so things like that, for me, I really needed to work on and have it changed in my life. So I know that in this new life, in this new walk I have with the Lord, I need to pay attention to those things because I am, as a confessing believer in Jesus Christ, you know, people are watching. And we need to be able to be accountable for that. And, you know, each one of you knows where there can be an improvement for integrity. We all have that, you know. I walked around for 48 years in this world before I came in here and started this real sanctification process. So no doubt, there's years of things that I can rethink and redo and improve on my integrity. The T is for trust. I'm just kind of winging here because I can't even see with my glasses on, but I hope you're bearing with it. I'm paying attention to a couple of these little notes. The trust is, again, the same as the acceptance, that we need to be able to trust God and his speaking to us, and we need to be able to trust others. I just gave a lesson on relapse, and I think one of the biggest things that can really help us in not falling back to some of our old behaviors, whatever they are, is sometimes trusting that a word can come to us, either through the word itself or in the Lord or through another person. And we need to be able to trust that God's going to be speaking to us in this time, in this process of recovery and sanctification, because he will. And he'll use his word to speak to us, but he'll use others to speak to us as well. And I'm not just talking about the pastors and the leaders and stuff that are up in the pulpit speaking to us, but I'm talking about brothers and sisters who really know us. They might come up and speak to you, and that's really valuable stuff. But it also says to test that. So when someone does speak to you, or the word speaks to you, but definitely other people speak to you, you want to test it and find out if it's true. If it's true, then you need to listen to that. If not, then you can let it go. And another thing that I've understood, too, about trusting is that we can really trust the Lord Jesus to speak to us. There's nothing more important, I think, that I've learned this last year, and it's very important that I think it came to me is this, that I can't live on another person's revelation of the Word. You know, when you're reading the Word, you need to throw out all the lessons sometimes. You need to have one time a day where you're just reading that book because you want to hear what the Lord's going to speak to you, you know. And No other lessons, no other study guides, no index things in the side, not too many rabbit trails unless the Lord's really leading you that way. But just be in the Word. And if you're like me, sometimes you'll get stuck reading the same verse over and over again. So what I'll do is I'll go back and forth on that verse and find out why I'm stuck or what He wants to speak to me. Because it might not even be a time for reading sometimes. Sometimes I'm reading the Word and I'm just not getting it, so I just back off and I pray. But if I'm in the Word looking for a revelation from Him of how it's going to speak to me, I'm going to receive some really, really good stuff. And we need to trust that it is Him speaking to us. He does, and He will. And a lot of our growth is going to come from there. And also, what you hear from Him and from others, you're going to begin to understand what your place is, what your gift is, maybe what your ministry is. The more and more you listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you and see other people speaking to you, it's going to be a real guide into what your character and what your person is going to be in the Lord. So I really encourage you to trust the Lord, the Word, and others speaking into your life. And it's very needful. And again, the last letter is... I always had a hard time with this. I don't know why I have a hard time. Your higher power. Of course, He's our higher power, Jesus Christ. But, you know, He is very good, what He has done for us and the sanctification process that He's done for us. You know, we don't have to earn this. You all know that, right? I mean, we were saved by the blood of Jesus and the death on the cross. We believe that He died for our sins and that He rose and was resurrected. If that's what we believe, that's what saves us. We trust Him for that. It's a done deal. But He is walking with us every day. And when He speaks to us with His Word and His Holy Spirit, we need to trust that He's doing good things for us. It's really a pretty simplistic lesson, but it's really vital to understand that through this process we're about to go through, trusting Him, coming out of denial, getting ready to do some hard things, you know, that He's with us through this whole walk and this whole way. So thanks for bearing with me and me being tired, but that's the lesson. And I'm going to end with a prayer. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I just thank You, Father, that each one of us is blessed by Your presence in our lives, Lord Jesus. Father, I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus, that You can speak to each individual person and know each minute of their life, each thing that's going on, all the problems, all the blessings, Lord. And I just pray that You'd speak to each life right here, Lord Jesus, that through this process that we're going through, that You would guide them, that You would direct them, all of us, Lord. And that You would bring that special place for us, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. We need You so much, Father. We need Your guidance. We need Your love. You are our all in all, Lord God. Thank You for all You do, Lord Jesus. Amen.